You are now listening to FMB Radio.
And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I am your host. All throughout the week this week, we're going to be doing short episodes, talking to friends in the industry and seeing how they're dealing with the situation as it develops with coronavirus. We're calling it Corona Phone a Friend. Not to be cheeky, just because God knows we need some light in this time of uncertainty. So first up, the one and only Chef Mike Lotta. He owns The Ordinary and Fig here in Charleston with Adam Nimero. He's my former boss. He's a friend, and he's going to speak a little bit about what they're doing, as they go forward from the decision to close their dining rooms, indefinitely. So some really interesting stuff in here. Check out what he has to say. I think it's really wise. It's calming, and it's kind of what we all need to hear right now. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Thank you all so much for signing the petition. I think right now, last time I looked, it had over 22,000 signatures, something like that. I think it was over 2,000 signatures. And what that is a petition that I wrote to go to Governor McMaster to try and get some aid for people in the hospitality industry. That means food and beverage or hotels, wine shops, small businesses, people that that use food and beverage to make a living. Because I think at this point, it's pretty much out of the control of the people. It's going to have some sort of quote unquote bailout, if you will, to get some restaurants through. Some restaurants have the funds and some have the plan to get through without it, but it's just still so unknown. Again, this situation is developing so quickly that by the time you hear this, this might be old news or there might be some new solution. But in the meantime, please check out the petition. It's on our Instagram in our bio. It's at FMB Radio, EFFINBRADIO on Instagram. And you can click on that and just kind of sign it, share it. Let's get some signatures on it so we can kind of try to get the conversation going with how the government might be able to help, because it's tough out there. Okay, so without further ado, Chef Mike Lotta, let's get him on the phone. So right now we're so honored and lucky to have Chef Lotta joining the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
This is an insane time to say the least, and there's so much going on. Yesterday alone, they just kind of mandated that all dining rooms close. And I know Fig and The Ordinary, which are the restaurants that you own, they're not doing any sort of takeout at this time. Is that correct?
Correct. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. We just didn't know if we were ready to initiate a whole new business plan before we made the decision to shut down our restaurants to pivot to a to-go environment with the kind of food that we do normally. You know, I think it was going to take a lot of thought and a lot of energy. And I think that one thing that people have maybe discounted here is like, you have to consider the absorption rate of all this information.
Yes.
And to pivot, to start another initiative, would take time away from the meetings with our lawyers, our accountants, our financial advisors, our bankers, our staff. So we had to turn it kind of inward a little bit, and still do for the rest of the week. We've decided that we're just going to focus on how to come Monday morning feel like we've gotten our heads around this entire thing. And mind you, the information is changing so fast. By Monday, it might look totally different.
And that's one of the things that has been so insane. But when we first started talking about this, you mentioned that the frenetic energy, the people are just getting kind of super reactive and making really snap decisions, because I feel like there is kind of a lack of leadership from the government on down in terms of there's no clear path on like what is the right way to do this. And so I love what you're saying, which is like, let's just all take a moment, take care of the staff that we have or that we're having to, you know, furlough or let go, and then try to make moves. But I think everyone is panicking and just trying to like get funds coming in as though that's going to be the thing that saves them, when really the picture is, it sounds from what you're saying, it's so much more complex than that. And you really have to be careful and thoughtful about the actions that you're taking right now.
Oh, yeah. And the more you think about it, the more you realize that it demands all of your attention.
Yes.
Because there are so many scenarios that, you know, with it being unknown, when we sat across from that team, from both teams yesterday, and discussed to them with them what we thought we had no choice, you know, no money coming in, let's limit money going out.
Right.
And how inefficient would it be for us to start trying to sell things right now before we even know what happened, right? Before we even know how we got here, because it happened so fast, we didn't have time to prepare for it. Even if we did, right? We have to stop the bleeding.
Right.
So, you know, first and foremost, let's deal with that. Second to that, we have to think about how long we're going to be down for, how much money it's going to cost us to be down, and how we're going to pay for that. And, you know, so we had to meet with our, you know, emergency meetings with our banker and our accountant, and to see what are our options, what does this look like, what are the tax implications, and what, you know, help us get a whole picture here so we can make some good decisions.
Yeah, because it really is just, it's, I mean, obviously completely uncharted. People have never had to experience anything like this before, and there's no plan in place, because why would there be a plan for an open-ended closure?
Yeah, and, you know, and all, and really, in defense maybe to your comment about the local government, you know, we met with the mayor yesterday, and small group of us, and he said, listen, you know, I'm not prepared to shut the restaurants down right now, because the group that we were with were kind of saying that we all agreed that if we are really in a situation where we're behind the curve on this, on the virus spreading, then we need to identify that now and start the, you know, to begin to try to make that, to get on the other side of the curve.
Yeah.
And the longer we prolong it with limited seatings, or however, you know, we're trying to hobble along, the more painful it's going to be. Let's just nip this thing in the bud and see if we can get, you know, if we can get on the right side of it. And so the mayor was like, listen, does it stop with restaurants? Is it grocery stores? Is it, you know, what? He's like, where does it start and stop? He goes, we don't feel comfortable looking at all the restaurateurs and all, you know, hundreds of them in the county, and saying, you're done, you know, like, that's a big decision. And he said yesterday, the people from, you know, the top medical team that he's dealing with said, not yet.
Wow.
So it's not easy. However, we called a meeting with the mayor because we needed some direction, because we didn't want to be, and Mike Shemtov put it beautifully in the Post and Courier, is that we don't want to be in charge of balancing public health and staff welfare.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's because there's just not enough information to even make a decision like that. And there's nothing to even sort of base, you know, past experiences and say, oh, well, when we've dealt with this before, like, this is just, nobody's ever seen anything like this. So it's scary. And it's also, I think everybody is fearful for, you know, what it looks like after this in terms of the landscape for businesses that have just opened or that maybe aren't established. And so those guys are trying to really think on their feet, and there just doesn't seem to be a playbook. So I'm curious though, when you, the reason I reached out to you originally, because I just think so many people look to you to kind of, you know, be a beacon and an inspiration, and at least kind of have a plan, which probably is a lot of pressure for you, I imagine.
well, yeah, maybe.
But
we really are concerned mostly with just, you know, Adam and I have been talking and meeting all day, every day, and just trying to figure out what the best thing to do is for us and, you know, for the reopening, right? I mean,
yes.
That's got to be part of the strategy.
Absolutely. And when we were talking about the closing of the restaurants, a lot of chefs had reached out to me and said that they were wondering what to do with certain product that they had. And you commented on Instagram and were like, well, we're feeding our staff. And I want you to kind of get into that a little bit more, because that seems, when you say it, it's like such an obvious choice, but I don't know that everyone is kind of taking that route. And they're looking for something like, where can I donate that then people could get fed? But that requires a ton of organization and a ton of logistics that aren't really in place, and the sort of infrastructure doesn't exist for that. So I think it makes so much more sense to have the restaurants take care of the staff that they have, kind of. And maybe you can speak to that a little more.
You know, and it's funny, because when you just the way that you talked about it, it's like it almost seems so obvious. And it wasn't even that obvious to us. It was, okay, let's not mess around. Let's not complicate the situation with trying to do to-go food and curbside pickup.
Yeah.
Let's shut it down and take stock of where we are. And that would, everybody in the company would be better served if all of our attention was spent on the company. And then after we agreed to try to limit our spending, you know, like everybody else, we said, okay, well, we have all this food. And I know that if we were to provide a quart, you know, a deli quart of food, you know, and it's going to be all one pot stuff. Like we have gumbo and chowders and braised, you know, meats and things like that, that we've got planned for the next several days. It's like, if everybody gets a quart of protein stash slash stew and a pint of rice, well, you know, that for a single person, that could be the entire day's meal. And that could save them, you know, quite a bit of money and quite a bit of time.
Absolutely.
And here we have lots of unperished, like lots of, you know, we have lots of rice and grits and the ability to make pastas and have dried pastas. And we have all these proteins that were now frozen, and then we'll pull them out in rations to produce the, what I think we're talking about is about 40 quarts a day per restaurant.
Wow.
And if that helps out the staff, then that's the best use of that food for us.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I don't know. So that's our plan for this week and what I imagine is next week. But then, you know, and this is certainly something that I thought of today, was like, well, the producers, right? The growers, the fishermen. And so I was up visiting Mark Marhefka at his new facility today. And he's like, well, listen, I will help you. I will give you at cost, or we'll work something out to where I'll give you like fish heads and maybe some collars and stuff like that, so you can continue to feed your staff after the food that you have is gone.
Wow.
Because he's like, there's so much fish out there right now and there's nowhere for it to go. So maybe this is one of those things where we cook for our team until the food's gone. And hopefully maybe by that point we have some better information, or maybe we start finding ways for people to pay the producers a little bit of money for their product, and that food comes to our restaurants and we continue to cook for our staff. It's hard to say what's going to happen, right?
Totally.
So our immediate plan really is to deplete our inventory by cooking for our people. And it's there if they want it. And once that's gone, hopefully we'll have another plan or some more information. But it almost seems foolish to make any long-term plans right now, because things change so frequently.
I mean, on the hour, things are changing, and it's so hard to follow. But I think that's an incredible way to look at it, because if you're listening and you're thinking about getting rid of, or just like ditching everything, that's absolutely not the answer. You can always do something with it. You can make something for the staff. And I think that's going to see, like, just getting down to a neighborhood level or your community level at its smallest is going to be the best way to kind of move forward in a safe and healthy manner without spreading this virus further, because that's, you know, everybody wants to, it's kind of our inclination to get together, and that's the last thing we can really do. So it needs to be on a small level, the reactions that we have in terms of how to get people taken care of who have just been laid off or don't have any income coming in. And I'm also curious what you think about the gift card idea, because I don't know. I don't own a business, but I don't know if that could save a business. And I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, I would think that every individual restaurant will have a different philosophy about that.
Yeah.
Because certain restaurants need more or less to survive in these times. I think, so one thing that you have to carefully balance here, right, is, so and honestly, I really have turned off a lot of information in the last 24 hours, but maybe what you're referring to is what Danny Myers has done already in New York City by saying, you know, for every, correct me if I'm wrong, or if you don't know about this, there's something to the effect of the gift card purchases right now will go towards the employees.
Oh, no, I do know about that, but I was more specifically referring to the fact that people seem to think that will save the business if you just go out right now and buy gift cards to all these small businesses, that they'll be able to make it. And somehow to me, that just doesn't seem like it would add up.
Well, let's put it this way. In December, we sell the most gift cards we do all year long. And it's a great number. And I know a lot of other restaurants in town, we've shared that number before. I can't imagine we would sell more than we do in September. And currently that would cover, it wouldn't even cover our like a third of our payroll.
Right. That's kind of what I'm now, trying to say.
But let me make sure that I'm not discouraging anybody.
Every little bit
is going to help.
Yes.
But I think the reality here for us, it's different for everybody, but for us is like, are we going to encourage gift card sales? Absolutely. Because we need every nickel. We're trying to carry as much as we can health insurance wise for as many people as we can. Our current scenarios are, you know, like, what can we do? And what do we have to do? And so every little bit absolutely helps. But I think really for us, it's going to be getting as quiet as possible and being as smart as possible and trying to wait out the storm.
Yeah. I think that's very wise, obviously, and super smart. And
because we don't want to be, you know, I mean, obviously gift cards are great and they're a net win for everybody. But you know, we want to make sure that when we open, we're not like that we can actually make some money.
Well, right. Because that's my question about how it works. Like, it basically you're kind of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul in that scenario, where if you're opening up from being closed after several weeks or maybe even a month, and you've got all these people coming in paying with gift cards, what does that look like? It kind of just defers, and that might help someone stay open and not have to completely close at that point. But it doesn't necessarily. Now, yes, I agree with you. Like, every little bit helps if you can buy merch. A lot of restaurants are doing that. And that is one of the things, but that's sort of been like the solution that people are passing around. And it just feels like, I don't know if that's even going to be enough. It's very strange times. And it's sweet to see people coming together, but it's tough to know what to do and how to best help.
It is. And I'm telling you, like, the last 24 hours has really been about taking stock of the situation. And I imagine that come Monday morning, and I'm saying that just as an easy start and stop, that we're going to look really hard at options like crowdfunding and gift card sales. And, you know, and those would probably be mostly in the benefit of the employees.
Yeah.
You know, like, we still don't know what to expect, like in everybody else, but we certainly don't want to sit in our hands either.
No.
When we could do, you know, so it's all up in the air, but I think that, yeah, we're going to cook that food and hopefully offset some of the expenses for our employees that are, I'm sure, scrambling to come up with a plan. You know, it was hard enough to, I think we laid off, you know, in the neighborhood of about 80, 85 people yesterday.
Oh my God. That's gotta be the most heartbreaking decision.
Well, I think we all left with the understanding that this is going to be a rough few weeks, and that as soon as we're back open, we're going to be fired back up again. And so hopefully hopefully that's all that it is.
Yes, I think so too. And I'm hopeful that the sooner we can shut everything down and stop the spread or slow the spread, the sooner we can get back up and running and try to get everything going, because it is just so daunting. To think about what now, because it's just the nature of hospitality to want to come together and help each other. And that's such a weird, like, sick joke to not be able to.
I know, it's even... like, yeah, let's have a fundraiser.
Right. Do that. No. Oh, well, we could make something and the way the Charleston hurricane parties, like, people want to almost take that mentality. And you're like, that's not advisable. So it's so hard to know what the best thing is, but I'm really appreciative of you taking the time to come and chat with us for a second, because I know that it's so hard for everybody, and everybody's business is so different right now. But it does help to just even hear what people are doing. And somehow that just sharing those stories and what people are doing and the plans, it seems to bring people ease.
It is very helpful. And like I said, you know, we just decided let's just look at inward for a little bit first before we, you know, take all this information in, because it's a lot and it's new. So,
solid advice, Chef. You were so kind to do this, and, we'll be thinking about you and sending all of our positive vibes your way. If there's anything that I can do, reach out. I'm here always. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I truly feel like those are just wise words. In general, no matter what industry you're in, what you're dealing with, where you are in this situation, or how it's affecting you, because it is, trust me, it's affecting us all, no matter what we do. But I loved what he said about just getting quiet and looking at the ones that you directly are responsible for right now and taking care of them, because at this point, things are just truly changing on a minute, on a second, and we just don't know what's around the corner. So be hopeful, get quiet, listen, and take care of those around you. And you can always reach out to me at EFFINBRADIO@gmail.com if you want a Corona phone a friend with me. We have some amazing guests coming up this week. Cynthia Wong is going to be on the show. She's incredible. She's going to talk to us about dealing with a food truck / ice cream delight truck. And then the one and only Rudy Mahosky will be on the show this week. So lots of stuff coming up. Look for them as we just keep bringing you all of the latest updates as it happens. Stay together, friends. Stay positive. Take care of each other. We'll see you soon.